I'm Jason Chaffetz, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, August 20th, 2018. I'm Grinnell Scott. The president yanks a former intelligence official's clearance, sparking a war of words.
There's a lot of criticism from the right and the left amongst these former directors of the CIA who feel that the president is really abusing his power.
I'm Dave Anthony. He doesn't work for President Trump anymore, but Anthony Scaramucci is offering some advice.
He's waking up in the morning and he's got a metaphorical shotgun in his hand known as his Twitter app, and he's blowing off his left foot. I don't think he should just stop doing it.
And I'm Kat Timm. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
Some have said it's the president's privilege. Others say it's a reaction to vocal criticism of him. President Donald Trump last week moved to revoke the security clearance of former CIA director John Brennan. Now, Brennan has been at times unabashedly critical of the president, most notably following his recent meeting with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. The White House's action has prompted many former members of the intelligence community to come out in support of Brennan. Fox News correspondent Jennifer Griffin has been closely following this story. We began by talking about why Brennan having an active security clearance when he's no longer in government is so important.
It's been a long-standing tradition in the intelligence community that former directors of the CIA, former top intelligence officials, kept their security clearances so that they could be brought back into government when there were crises, when future presidents and leaders, defense officials and intelligence officials at the CIA wanted to consult with them about crises they're facing, their experience from the past. It's a way to keep that collective experience. If you have a security clearance, then you can be read in on, they can talk frankly with you about the situations they're facing. As soon as you don't have that clearance, you can't be brought in and consulted. Now, there are defenders of the president who say that John Brennan would never be brought in by this administration for his advice or counsel because he has shown himself to be very political in the last year and anti-Trump. That being said, let's say after the Trump presidency, if future presidents want to bring John Brennan in by revoking what was a lifetime security clearance, that will prevent the former CIA director, John Brennan, from consulting with those in the future. So there are those in the intelligence community who say that on the one hand, John Brennan can exist and continue to talk and give speeches without a security clearance. It is not as though he says, he has said repeatedly, it's not as though he's going into the CIA using secret computers to gather new classified information, but it makes it more difficult for him to communicate or be used to consult in the future and to bring his experience and his vast experience. Nobody can take that away from him.
There are some who aren't that enamored with the fact that John Brennan is speaking out. The former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen, appeared on Fox News Sunday.
I don't think there's any question the president has the right to pull security clearances. That authority is very clear. That said, I do worry about the fact that, one, that John is now in the political arena, and two, that at the same time, I don't agree with the president pulling it. I think I am concerned about the whole issue of free speech. And as long as John is not revealing classified information that he shouldn't, then I certainly think he has a right to speak.
And the free speech issue, Jennifer, is what is concerning a lot of people when it comes to this.
Well, absolutely. And there are many. The reason you saw 60 former CIA officials and then another dozen former directors and deputy directors of the CIA sign a letter saying that, an open letter, saying that this is an attack on free speech, that it is not about classified information or the revealing of misusing of classified information. There is a real circling of the wagons from directors of the CIA who served both Republican and Democrat Democratic presidents. That being said, what's interesting in what Admiral Mullen said is that both he and we heard from Jim Clapper, who ironically is on the list of names that the president is considering revoking his security clearance, the former director of national intelligence, Jim Clapper. But both Clapper and Mullen said that they are not comfortable with quite how far Brennan has gone in terms of accusing the president of treason. They feel that he himself is going further than he should. And in fact, there are many in the intelligence community who don't want intelligence to be politicized. And they feel that things that John Brennan has said over the past year have stepped over a line in terms of his criticism of the president.
Jennifer, let's talk about Bruce Ohr. That's another name that has come up prominently in this discussion. Where does he stand in all of this?
Now, Bruce Ohr is an interesting case because he's the only name on the list that of the those that the president is considering to of revoking their security clearances. He's the only one who is currently serving in government. He is a prosecutor in the Justice Department who is not involved in the Russia investigation. He is, in fact, involved with organized crime and prosecuting mostly counter-narcotics cases. But his name was raised because it turns out that there are texts and emails showing that he had contact with Christopher Steele, the former British spy who was associated with Fusion GPS, that group in Washington that was hired by the Clinton campaign to do opposition research on President Trump's ties to Russia. And the fact that Bruce Ohr, this Justice Department prosecutor, was in contact with Christopher Steele has raised some concerns among Republican members of the House Intelligence Committee. And they, in fact, have called him, the Oversight Committee and Judiciary Committee, has called Bruce Ohr up to Capitol Hill, and he will be testifying behind closed doors on August 28th. But for the president to go after Bruce Ohr and his wife, Nellie, who worked at Fusion GPS, in the way that he has through Twitter, and to threaten to revoke Bruce Ohr's security clearance, that has really also raised eyebrows among those who say that the president is simply using this power that he has to revoke security clearances to go after anyone who has criticized him or who he perceives as being integral to the Russian investigation.
Do the tea leaves show you anything of how this may escalate at this point?
I don't think we know how this is going to end. There is still a list of about nine more names that the president, and there are reports that the president has drafted and orders to revoke those clearances. If he does so, there are critics of the president who say that he's planning to do so when there are bad news headlines in order to shift the attention away from, for instance, the Omarosa book or the Paul Manafort verdict. Brennan himself accused the president this week in one of his television appearances of potentially provoking a national security crisis in a wag the dog kind of situation. So again, I don't think this crisis is over. I think it's really like a very complicated chess game. And at this point, we'll have to see what the president does next.
It is what people are talking about, and we will see exactly how it plays out. Jennifer Griffin, Fox News correspondent in Washington, D.C. Jennifer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Kat Timpf with your Fox News commentary. Coming up...
So what's this week going to be like? The last one was dominated by President Trump's critics. First, his fired assistant, Omarosa Manigault Newman, who told NBC's Meet the Press...
He is truly a racist.
And then the president countered...
Lowlife. She's a lowlife.
Then there was John Brennan, who got a security clearance revoked, and the ex-CIA director told MSNBC it was done...
...to try to intimidate and suppress any criticism of him or his administration.
And then hundreds of newspapers condemned President Trump in editorials, saying they are not the enemy of the people. All that as he demands more credit for this.
The economy is maybe better than it's ever been. The numbers are coming out the best they've ever had.
One of his supporters who used to work for him wants the president to focus more on that message.
There should be a strategy session in the White House right now. It should be called Project 55.
Anthony Scaramucci was White House communications director for a brief time last year.
The president deserves a 55% job approval rating. How do you get them there? What do we have to do in terms of communication and delivery of message? What should our strategy be vis-a-vis the media, mainstream media, otherwise? And if they start thinking in that way, we'll go from where he seems to be. You tell me, because the polls move everywhere, but they're probably he's probably in the low to mid-40s. But he could easily be in the mid-50s if you just looked at the economic dashboard, you looked at all the great things that are happening in the country, you look at the fact that no rockets being fired from North Korea.
However, his own Secretary of State admitted to Congress that they are still producing nuclear fuel. There have been reports citing satellite data that they're still doing missile production. So what exactly have we accomplished with North Korea?
Well, I mean, again, in that testimony, I think what Secretary Pompeo also said was that they've put a structure and a template in place that they're hoping that the North Koreans will abide to, which will be a, you know, a final chapter in the denuclearization of North Korea.
Isn't this we've been down this road before, though, haven't we?
If you're making the point that he jumped the gun with the summit, and if you're making the point that he was impetuous in terms of trying to set up that dialogue, I think a lot of people probably feel that way. I feel differently.
Okay.
And the reason I feel differently is I think that the status quo in Washington and the status quo in our foreign policy has generated a lot of inertia and a lot of bad activity. It seems like progress has been made. If you're going to say that progress has not been made to what the president has said, I think that that's fair. But I think at least we're moving in the right direction. And the fact that there hasn't been a rocket fired from the North Koreans in 8 months, I guess it's been, I take that as a good sign. But I get the point, you know. So
well, they're not a nuclear threat anymore, but they are.
Yeah. Well, I think he's jumping the gun in terms of overstating the fact that they're, quote unquote, not a nuclear threat. But I do admire the fact that he was willing to haul himself to Singapore to meet with the North Korean chairman to see if we could get something done. And so we'll have to see what happens over the next 12 months. This guy is a disruptor. He is a idol breaker. He shatters totems. He shatters the status quo. And so, listen, it probably hasn't gone as well as he is saying, but at least we're directionally going in a direction that I think could lead to progress.
So you think he likes to step on toes? He likes to make people uncomfortable?
Yeah. I definitely do. You think that? I definitely think that.
But that
and if you're listening, you know you think that too, right?
But at the same time, it creates his own problems. Like the tweets can create his own problems. Yeah. I know that he loves to tweet because he loves as a direct conduit to his supporters. I understand that, but it also creates his own headaches.
He's tweeting mean and nasty things. It's creating hysteria, which creates more criticism, which creates a rebuttal of that criticism in the form of mean and nasty things. And so now he's creating a vicious circle as opposed to a virtuous one. But, you know, he likes doing it, or he's caught in a habit of doing it, or there are people inside the White House that are not giving him the right advice, or he's not listening to people if they are giving him the right advice. But the best advice, and again, this is just common sense, put the phone down, take a chill, take in some sun somewhere, relax, hit a few golf balls. Why don't you experiment? You're at 43-44% in job approval rating. Why don't you put the phone down for a week? Let's see where the job approval numbers go.
So don't tweet. Just stick on whatever message.
I think so. Here's
pick a message, stick with it.
Here's the messaging. I got great common sense. I'm a good negotiator. I'm about to pull off a renegotiation of NAFTA. I do think that gets announced probably before the beginning of the last quarter. You have to step back and give the guy credit. He is figuring out a way to help working class and middle class families. But when you're shooting at LeBron James, you're taking a shot at Don Lemon, you're attacking Maxine Waters, and you're in a row with Amorosa, that's going to detract from all of the wonderful things that you're doing. So put the phone down, take a chill. I'll use one of the president's expression when he's talking about other people. Be cool. You know, we said, hey, Jimmy Kimmel, be cool. Hey, mate, President Trump, be cool.
Omarosa, though, is very tough. It's very tough to be cool with her. She is on a rampage with her new book. She's calling the racist, this whole N-word tape. She secretly records all these people. Yeah, how do you stop that?
Let's face it. I'm not in love with her approach. But let's talk about Omarosa for a second. Let's try to be clinical and let's try to be objective. She's had a 14-year relationship with the president. They are two peas in a pod on reality TV. They're yin and yang, and her adversarial, quote-unquote, evil nature, her roguish figure, her Cruella de Vil in live action, okay, created a lot of ratings buzz, created a lot of great activity. And when the president was seeking and searching for unity, and he was seeking for inclusion as it related to the African-American community, she was there on point in a pretty articulate way. Now, a lot of us don't like her nefarious nature. We don't like her bad side. But the president can't look at you in the face and say, hey, there was no Surgeon General's warning label on her. Look at her in her first episodes when she was on The Apprentice in the first season that she arrived on The Apprentice. So we know her personality.
Sure. People cringed when she was hired, I think.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. If we know her personality and the president wanted to reward her for the help that she gave him in the campaign with a White House job, locking her in the Situation Room to fire her when it was time for her to leave is probably not the best approach to somebody like Omarosa. And so now we're sitting here, we're decrying Omarosa, but it'd be like me, you know, looking at you, you've smoked for 55 years. The warning label was on the pack and said, hey, man, you're going to get lung cancer if you smoke. And now you got lung cancer. And we're sitting here saying, how did I get the lung cancer? But I'm trying to be constructive. I'm trying to be helpful as an outsider who genuinely likes the president, put a lot of time and energy and hard dollars into his campaign. To offer him advice the way another corporate CEO would offer advice. Back off on Omarosa. Stop tweeting about her. Take a chill.
She wrote about you in the book. She wrote a little swipe at you.
Said that I cried like a girl. Hey, look, you know what? If you think I cried like a girl, that's great. If you don't think I cried like a girl, that's fine, too. I'm an Italian kid from Long Island. I'll let you guys decide whether or not I cried like a girl when I got fired from the White House after 11 days. If you guys think you should do a poll on Fox News' app, okay? Did the mooch cry like a girl when he got fired or not? I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to answer the question. I'll let you guys decide, okay? My wife got a real kick out of that.
So the security clearance issue is another one. People say the president is, in an unprecedented way, John Brennan, who had lost his, wrote that he's trying to scare his critics into silence. All these other people write this letter to the president saying, oh, you're trying to stifle free speech. What do you think?
Okay, well, let's take Brennan and the president's point of view, and let's try to be very objective when we analyze it. Okay, so the president is wickedly upset and very justified that there were forces, whether it was Stroh's, Lisa Page, Brennan, Comey, Clapper.
Right. These all the people involved in the Trump-Russia investigation.
He feels that the investigation has been unfair. He knows in his heart there's been no collusion. The Russians obviously probably meddled in the election. How much meddling did they really do? That did it delegitimize the president? What the president gets upset about when they bring this stuff up is that he worked super hard to win that campaign. He had a great strategy, executed the strategy. If the Russians did meddle, it was minuscule. Didn't have an impact on the election. Don't delegitimize my election by even bringing it up, okay? The mistake of firing Comey instigated the special prosecutor, which has been a distraction to the president and his family. President's going to double and triple down and start revoking more and more security clearances. His faithful will look at that and say, oh, yeah, that's great. Stick it to these guys. Stick it to the establishment. But normal people, people that are not overly obsessed with the whole thing, will step back and say, wait a minute, you're contradicting 75 years of good policy that has by and large worked in the United States. So for me, again, I'm no longer one of his advisors, but I'm just a color commentator now. But if I was an advisor, I'd say, well, why do we got to do this? You won the presidency. You're going to get exonerated on the investigation. You don't like these people. Yes, they probably weaponized a little bit of those agencies against you. That's probably happened since the existence of those agencies. It's made easier to detect it by the use of smartphones and social media and all these recording devices that we're holding in our hands. But that's probably been going on for 150, 200 years. Let's take a chill. You're doing great. Let's focus on the agenda that are helping Americans. And by the way, you're in total beast mode when you campaign. You're basically Tom Brady in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go when you're campaigning. You have a lot of fun doing it. Go back to the rock star entertainment business and let's win the congressional midterms and let's knock off this nonsense.
I know you haven't been a big fan of the president and the enemy of the people stuff with the press.
I don't like it at all. I think it's bad for him. There's nothing about that I like. It galvanizes the media against him. When you've got Bret Baier on Fox News chastising the White House for locking out Caitlin Collins from CNN, and you're bringing natural competitors together to consolidate against you, you're doing something wrong. And you'd be way better served saying, okay, listen, I've got an adversarial relationship with the media. They don't like me. I don't like them. Has there been fake news? Absolutely. Was I a victim of it? I absolutely was. I understand the pain of going through the fake news, but you won. You're the president of the United States. We have a First Amendment. These people have a right to say and or do what they want to do. You'll challenge that and say, well, they can't make up the news. I recognize that they can't make up the news. So let's hold them accountable to good fact-checking. Let's hold them accountable to veracity and accuracy, and let's have a healthy adversarial relationship with the press. But declaring them the enemy of the people or declaring them the opposition party, you're creating all of these unintended, unnecessary consequences that you don't need to have in your wheelhouse. He's on a mission to American greatness. He's on a mission to being arguably one of our best and most successful presidents. But he's waking up in the morning and he's got a metaphorical shotgun in his hand, known as his Twitter app, and he's blowing off his left foot. And I think he should just stop doing that.
Anthony Scaramucci, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Here's a look at the week ahead. Tuesday, White House National Security Advisor John Bolton travels to Geneva. There, he'll meet top-level Russian officials, the first such meeting since President Trump and Russia's President Vladimir Putin met in Helsinki in July. Wednesday, President Trump travels to Columbus, where he will headline the Ohio Republican Party's annual dinner. During his stay, the president is also scheduled to attend a fundraising event for GOP Senate candidate Jim Renacci. Friday, Samsung's next major smartphone, the Galaxy Note 9, will hit store shelves nationwide. The Galaxy Note 9 will start at a retail price of $999. And that's a look at the week ahead. I'm Jack Callahan.
Download The One with Craig Gutfeld.
Like right now in this news cycle, it's all about immigration. And we're going to think it's the end of the world until next week.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Captain Temp.
What's on your mind?
In case you haven't noticed, President Donald Trump and his former employee Omarosa are engaged in a very public battle with each other. This feud is dominating cable news stations and social media. It's everywhere. And that's exactly what Omarosa wants. See, Omarosa is one of those people who's famous for being famous. Actually, it'd be more accurate to say that she's famous for being infamous. She achieved celebrity after appearing on season one of The Apprentice, not because she was particularly lovable or warm or cuddly, but because she was so crafty and conniving. People didn't love her. They loved to hate her. She had a reality television career not in spite of the fact that people think she's awful, but because people think she's awful. This is one of the reasons why it makes so little sense for Trump to try to ruin her with insults. Even if his brutal tweets about her somehow accomplished what he wanted them to accomplish, presumably to make other people think that she's a bad person and take his side in their fight, it wouldn't matter. After all, being painted as a villain has never hurt this woman. Quite the opposite. It gave her her career. When you're famous for being famous, it really doesn't matter why you get attention. It only matters that you get it. Even worse for Trump, people don't seem to be taking his side in this dispute. His decision to call her, quote, that dog in particular, has elicited massive outrage on her behalf. A CNN column called it sexist and racist. Senator Jeff Flake stated that Trump's, quote, language is unbecoming of a president of the United States. Countless others have taken to Twitter to express similar sentiments. Thanks to the president's own words, the notoriously hated Omarosa is now able to play the victim, something that would have never been possible otherwise. All of this, of course, is happening while Omarosa is trying to sell a book. Like any author, she's certainly hoping to get a lot of publicity in hopes that it will lead to greater sales. And you really can't ask for better publicity than a highly public spat with the president of the United States. Every time Trump tweets about her, the news networks have to talk about it. And every time the news networks talk about it, she gains more attention, on which her career depends. Insofar as the book will only sell because of the controversy, Trump might as well be paying her all over again. Yes, I understand that Omarosa went after him first. I understand that she's accusing him of some pretty horrible things, such as using the N-word and being, quote, functionally illiterate. But Trump would have been much better off not escalating the conflict. Not just because he did so in a manner thoroughly unbecoming of his office, because he didn't really do his own cause any favors in the process, either. In fact, he just may have helped her sell some more books. I'm Kat Tiff.
You have been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to Fox News Radio's hourly newscast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, visit foxnews.com.